I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for choosing this KAXE KBXE conversation. We are member-supported radio, a National Public Radio affiliate in northern Minnesota. We need your support for our radio broadcasts, our online content, and our podcast. Go to KAXE.org, and thanks for listening. It's time right now for our monthly conversation, conservation conversation, with the folks from Northern Waters Land Trust. They are a nonprofit conservation organization working to protect water quality and preserve environmentally sensitive lands and water resources, serving watersheds in Cass, Crow Wing, Hubbard, and Aiken counties of Minnesota. Back with us again are Annie Johnson. She's the grants manager, conservation specialist, and John Sumption, conservation specialist. They have brought with them today Todd Holman. Todd is the Mississippi Headwaters Program Director for the Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota Chapter of the Nature Conservancy Office in Brainerd. Welcome all. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us again. We're so grateful to be here.
So Annie, tell us a little bit about what conversation you wanted to have and why you invited Todd to our conversation today and what you're thinking about.
Yeah, well, Todd is such an important person in our conservation community, and we've been so lucky to have such great people on our radio conservation conversation shows. And John and I got together, and we were thinking, who should we have next? And Todd Holman came to mind, and he jumped right on board, and he said yes, that he'd love to join us and talk a little bit about, especially about the collaboration that all of us conservation organizations have in this North Central area. So that's why we wanted Todd to join us today.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Well, and I can introduce Todd.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. So as Heidi, as you said, Todd is the Mississippi Headwaters Program Director based out of Brainerd. And Todd coordinates the Camp Ripley Sentinel Landscape Program. He facilitates the North Central Conservation Roundtable Consortium and has developed conservation protection programs in the Upper Mississippi Headwaters region. Todd helped develop and launch the programs in the Upper Mississippi Headwaters. Todd helped develop and launch the Mississippi Headwaters Board Protection Program for the upper 400 miles of the Mississippi River's headwaters. And this board includes 8 county joint powers. So when we talk about collaboration, that speaks to it. And prior to conservancy, Todd worked several years directing land use planning in 2 counties and was the community development director at the city of Baxter. Todd has been on the board of Water and Soil Resources, the Environmental Initiative Board, and served on the Baxter City Council. So Todd, thank you so much for joining us. And I guess just to start us off, do you want to just tell us a little bit about the Nature Conservancy and what they are doing in our North Central area?
I would be glad to, and thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning. Yes, I've been in this geography, and as you heard from that way too long introduction, probably, I've worn quite a few different hats, but I've stayed in this geography, which is, I think, really helpful to give perspective to all the ways we can kind of work together and lift each other up in the world of conservation work. The Nature Conservancy is a global 501c3 charitable nonprofit conservation organization. Global in scope, in that we work in well over 30 countries. We have country programs all across the continental U.S., of course, and then more locally, which is important to us, is that our chapter is Minnesota, North, and South Dakota. And I am the Mississippi Headwaters Program Director, as you described, and generally work from St. Cloud kind of north in the upper Mississippi River Basin to facilitate conservation, convene and coordinate partners, to build capacity for organizations like Northern Waters Land Trust, to help everybody that's working on the ground in the shared conservation mission with support tools and sometimes just advocacy. And that's the work that the Nature Conservancy does kind of across the board.
So tell us a little bit, Todd, why is the Mississippi Headwaters a priority for Nature Conservancy?
That's a great question. I started working for the Nature Conservancy in 2004 as the Prairie Forest Border Eco-Region Program Director. And almost immediately, the Nature Conservancy was aware of an emerging freshwater science coming from DNR, coming from U.S. Forest Service and other sources. And we recognized as a chapter that we needed to be a part of the freshwater conservation story. And so a lot of analysis was done. Dr. Kristen Bland is a scientist that works for the Nature Conservancy, did some lakes analysis and identified this area where Northern Waters Land Trust works, where we work, as a priority area to protect healthy waters. We looked around the state, actually all three states, lots of federal money was going into the Minnesota River Valley, the Red River Valley, federal and state money was going there. So there's a lot of conservation focus on kind of where waters were impaired. There really wasn't too much energy of scope and scale in these protecting healthy waters areas. And so we wanted to join where Northern Waters already was. And at the time it was the Leech Lake Area Watershed Foundation in trying to build up that capacity in the Mississippi headwaters. So it was protecting healthy waters was the driver, but it was also protecting the drinking water. A lot of people don't realize that this area, the lakes and rivers, though we know the high quality of the resource, that we are actually protecting the quality and the sustainability of those that drink water, use the Mississippi River as source water from St. Cloud on down south. That's over 2 million people that I think are dependent on the work we do up here in the Mississippi headwaters.
This is John Latimer speaking. This is an amazing seems like you need to preserve the quality of the water here, but as the water passes through here and heads further south, it quickly gets degraded. And are there thoughts or plans to extend the kind of work that you're doing further south?
Yeah, that's a great question and a great observation. There are people like me with the Nature Conservancy and other nonprofit organizations working kind of on agricultural focused, urban focused conservation efforts as well, because we all kind of need to pitch in, you know, whether it's an urban stormwater initiative or up here protecting what's healthy and, you know, preventing the conversion or the loss of what's already good. So your point is spot on that there have to be multiple kind of prongs to the conservation picture that address all of those sectors as we look at how water contribution to the Mississippi Basin is affected.
I guess it's important that we do the work that we are doing. You do the work that you are doing here in northern Minnesota. It must be somewhat disheartening to see what happens once the water passes from us to the next group. But I guess that's part of the job. I commend you for your work.
Thank you.
So can you give kind of a practical understanding of, so what if you weren't doing this work? What could be happening to the waters here? And how would it affect the drinking water south of us?
Yeah, great question. And your question kind of links to the scalability. And I think, how do we, Northern Waters Land Trust, the Nature Conservancy, the Trust for Public Land, there are many, many nonprofits that do work in the headwaters. How do we scale up and kind of know that what we're doing matters? And so one of the things that Nature Conservancy has brought to Northern Waters, and actually Northern Waters is one of the lead founders of a group called the North Central Conservation Roundtable, NCCR. And that group was developed quite a number of years ago. And it was developed to kind of see who's all doing conservation work in the headwaters. And can our work be kind of organized together? Can we develop a decision support tool? And so one of the first successes of that North Central Conservation Roundtable, co-led by Northern Waters, was to develop a decision support tool to identify where is the best conservation bang for the buck, so that we aren't all over kind of a shotgun approach at conservation without any methodology or science behind it. And so that was one of the first great successes, was a decision support tool. Northern Waters, the Nature Conservancy, the DNR, all the people that work in the headwaters kind of use that multiple benefits analysis as a means to at least identify where to target conservation priority for the best return on kind of a limited conservation investment. One of the other success stories was Paul Radomski with DNR and Sandy Berry with U.S. Forest Service early on, quite a number of years ago, had identified how much is enough. And so in addition to kind of knowing where, how do we know when we're done? And, you know, those are always two really good conservation questions, I think. And they kind of, their analysis work both in different bodies, Paul Radomski with DNR, Sandy Berry and the Forest Service, came up with a number that basically said that once lakes, the minor watersheds serving lakes get beyond 25% impacted, that measurable degradation starts to be observed. So the goal was to try to protect 75% of the watershed around critical lakes. And Northern Waters Land Trust with partners has done that. I think the 10 Mile Lake story is a great success story that comes out of Northern Waters working with DNR, the Chippewa National Forest, and other partners, I think, across Minnesota Land Trust, other partners across the board, and speaks to kind of the work that a local land trust like Northern Waters can do, because they know everybody. They know the people, they know the communities, they know the partners that work here within those agencies. So those are kind of pieces, I think, that help answer that question. Where do we work? How do we know, you know, when we're successful? And then how do we action it?
I don't know if it's too lengthy of an answer here, but can one of you describe kind of that 10 Mile Lake story and why it stands out, as Todd mentioned?
Heidi, John Sumption. It was just a great partnership, as Todd was saying. 10 Mile Lake has a very strong lake association, and they brought the efforts of several of our organizations to bear and said, how can we best affect protection of our lake and our watershed? And so they got Cass County, they got then the Leech Lake Area Watershed Foundation, got Nature Conservancy, got DNR together. In fact, Paul Radomski did his initial sensitive lake study on 10 Mile Lake because they wanted to know exactly where the best parcels were to protect. And then we've collectively went very aggressively after protecting those parcels. And we're happy to say, now, it should be said that public lands have a big part to play in this as well. So a lot of that watershed was permanently protected anyway, but we zeroed in on those lakeshore parcels, on others that really were in danger of being developed or were extremely sensitive and critical habitats, and we got those protected. And so it was a real collective effort, brought resources of manpower and funding to bear, and got the job done. That's the elevator speech version of it.
So you're out there dealing with the public, and you've got a lake association, and they're sort of like-minded, but there must be people out there who need more convincing. What steps do you take to break through to people who maybe don't understand the scope of the problem?
It's John, it's a continual education process, and Todd and Annie will attest to this, is that in advertising they say you have to give a person a message 40 times before they start to change their attitude, and I think that's probably being conservative. You have to figure out what motivates people. Is it their lecture value? Is it the legacy they want to leave their kids? Everybody has a touchstone that motivates them to be conservation minded. Well, almost everybody. And actually, I was thinking as we were talking that the fact, as two former zoning administrators, that Todd and I are even alive to talk about this is rather amazing. But you do it through incentives, you do it through regulation. There's some motivator that will get people to think about preserving their area. So it's sometimes a years long process before you can get to that point, John.
I would imagine that some of those people who have to be dragged kicking and screaming ultimately come to the realization that what you're doing has benefited them just by increased water quality and land value.
A very quick story that I can remember is somebody who was very, very skeptical about what we were doing had a relative come from Southern Illinois who was amazed that you could go out to the end of the dock and see the bottom of the lake. And they said, how did you get so lucky to find a place like this? And they said, well, you know, it was second nature. People here didn't even think about it. And that, they said, wow, we couldn't believe that this was an issue for people. So it's a matter of perspective.
We're talking with the folks from Northern Waters Land Trust. That's John Sumption and Annie Johnson also joining us. It's our monthly conservation conversation. Todd Holman is with us as well from the Nature Conservancy. I wonder if you could talk about the Camp Ripley Sentinel Landscape Partnership. And how you are all working together there.
Sure. And the Camp Ripley Partnership, the Camp Ripley Sentinel Landscape Partnership is actually a federal, state, and local government partnership. Camp Ripley was federally designated in 2016 as a Sentinel Landscape. So it's one of seven in the whole country. And this is a Department of Defense designation of a military installation and then a large landscape program to go with it. And that's really what the Sentinel Landscape Program is protecting the sustainability of the military installation as well as natural resources and the shared values and goals of partners that work in that area. So roughly a 10-mile radius around Camp Ripley, which brings us into the Northern Waters Land Trust geography as well. And so that federal, state, and local partnership, the three federal partners are the U.S. Department of Ag, so that includes the U.S. Forest Service and others, the Department of Interior, and the Department of Defense. And so the short story is, the elevator speech, as John would say, is that anything that goes on in those three large federal agencies, funding, staff capacity, is weighted to go to Sentinel Landscape. So we kind of get extra points for being a Sentinel Landscape. And so that, I think, is one of the future opportunities that would be a place where the Sentinel Landscape Partnership could work with Northern Land Trust, in that if there are these federal programs like Joint Chiefs, something between the Natural Resource Conservation Service and the U.S. Forest Service, that really stitches that Mississippi River corridor, really stitches those two partnerships together and the work that Northern Waters Land Trust is doing to find niches within there that benefit both the working vision and goal of Northern Waters and the Camp Ripley Sentinel Landscape Program. The Sentinel Landscape Program is really focused on an easement-based program. We've protected over 30,000 acres in the running of the program in and around Camp Ripley, which is a big success story, and we've worked with the Board of Water and Soil Resources to hold those easements. So the Board of Water and Soil Resources has been a champion partner as a state agency in that because it really has put Central Minnesota water protection, the Mississippi River, and that program on the map from an agency perspective, in addition to that federal partnership piece. I also get to pack around with federal coordinators. So that's kind of another group. All the Sentinel Landscape coordinators meet like this in a Zoom context. So a great way to learn and benefit each other's conservation work.
What sort of opportunities do you think exist in the future for work between your group, Todd, and the Northern Waters Land Trust? What does the future hold?
Well, I think kind of building on the successes that we've talked about, the Cisco Lake or the Deep Coldwater Lake conservation work that Northern Waters has had such great success on, multiple years of working with Outdoor Heritage Funds to protect and identify some of the best and most pristine lake resources in the headwaters. There are other lakes that are lakes of high biodiversity, really conservation value lakes, to kind of build that program toward. And again, the Nature Conservancy is right there trying to push, elevate, advocate, get funding for those types of conservation programs as well. And then one of the most recent one is sadly, we'll all remember the British Petroleum oil spill in the Gulf. And some of that mitigation money finally, after all of these years, is moving north through the DNR to do protection where loon habitat and deep cold water lake, Cisco Lakes, interface. And so I think Northern Waters Land Trust has a unique opportunity because the core of your work is, in fact, where deep cold water lakes and loon habitat exist. And not to mention, but wait, there's more, the National Loon Centers in Cross Lake now. So we've also got this iconic draw. If the Mississippi headwaters, one of the greatest rivers in the world, isn't enough, we've got the National Loon Center here too that just helps bring optical attention, hopefully funding and real work to organizations like Northern Waters Land Trust.
Before we're almost out of time, but I'm curious, like John, as you mentioned, the people on 10 Mile Lake and that, you know, having people up that notice the water quality there. What are a couple quick things that those of us who use lakes or have land on lakes should be keeping in mind to kind of follow these ethics of conservation?
Shoreline protection, Heidi, is a big issue. Shoreline protection, runoff control. I'm talking about people in the immediate lake watershed, and of course, always assuring that your septic system is up to code. Any of those nutrient or sediment sources, and that's why, as Todd said, we want to keep especially the forest at least 75% intact, because that's what it does. It controls the movement of those nutrients and sediments.
You can find lots more information on Northern Waters Land Trust at their website, or give us a call at 800-662-5799. It's northernwaterslandtrust.org, and this conservation conversation will be available at our website later at kaxe.org. You can listen to past conversations. Annie Johnson, John Sumption, and Todd Holman, thanks so much for your time today.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you all.